the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped more than 700 points this morning after news that a Chinese executive from the tech company Huawei was arrested in Canada at the request of the U.S. There's concern that this will further escalate the trade war with China days after a temporary truce. Congressman Ron Estes represents the 4th District in Kansas. He's a Republican. It's an area that depends on trade with China because of its agriculture. Congressman, when you saw the markets dropping today after this arrest, what did you make of it?
Well, I think there's probably two pieces of that. One, the stock market goes up and down. If you look at it the last couple of years, it's up a lot. Now in the last few weeks, it's been up and down on a week-by-week basis. So you'll see a lot of movement on the market depending on news that comes up. But I think one of the important things about the most recent news is that we've been in this ongoing trade war for a long period of time with countries like China, and multiple cases that have been filed against them, and they found guilty of stealing intellectual property, and that's the concern. That we want free and fair trade. I mean, we want it in our manufacturing facilities, we want it in our agriculture areas, and we want to have open markets. And if China wants to trade in a free world with open markets, then every country ought to follow the same rules, and we want to make sure that that happens.
So do you think that President Trump should get rid of the tariffs on China and other countries, or do you think that it's a good idea to keep them in place at the moment?
At the end of the day, tariffs are not a good idea. I mean, we want to have open markets. We want to have free trade. You know, in an ideal world, we wouldn't have any tariffs at all. And I think the president's even said that once or twice in G20.
But he did just call himself Tariff Man the other day. He said, I'm a tariff man.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the whole process to get to that free and fair trade is tariffs may be the only avenue that you have to really bring people to the table to negotiate.
How much are farmers in your district being hurt by the tariffs that are being put on products that they produce?
I think what we're seeing a lot is the anti-tariff reaction. We've seen some grain prices down, but then they were on the way down over the last 3-4 years. The farmers that I talk to, overwhelmingly, they want to have open markets. They want to have this dispute resolved, but they want to make sure that it's done fairly and make sure that it's a lasting agreement that works for everybody.
I want to ask you about taxes, because you were the state treasurer under Sam Brownback, the former governor there in Kansas, who was a big fan of tax cuts, put forward big tax cuts. Many looked at it and said they didn't work out the way that he wanted them to. And in fact, the Republican legislature ended up overriding his veto to get rid of them. What do you think about those tax cuts that happened in Kansas? Do you think that they were a failure?
Well, I think what you see is a couple of differences if you compare the Kansas tax cuts versus the tax cuts at the federal level. On one aspect, you didn't get the growth out of Kansas. At the time the tax cuts came in, the oil markets dropped. So oil and gas is one of the mainstays of the state. So you saw a decline in state revenue that would have happened regardless of what the tax rates were. On the federal level, when we look at the tax cuts here, the biggest piece that we're seeing is that strong positive economic growth, because we've given businesses, we've given individuals some reliability, some consistency of what to expect.
But also a big increase in the federal deficit as a result of those tax cuts.
Yeah. And what if you look at the Congressional Budget Office, which is kind of the nonpartisan office that does that. A year ago, when the tax plan was being brought up, it was estimated that over a 10-year period, just lowering the rates would result in a $1.5 trillion reduction in tax revenue. 5 months ago, when they did their semiannual review, they came back and said, oh, they're seeing more economic growth. So now over the next 10 years, they're seeing that $1 trillion of that is now coming back into the marketplace, so we have more tax revenue. So it's part of that economic growth. That was a big piece that we're seeing now that's so positive.
So you still think that the tax cuts are going to pay for themselves?
I do think they will pay for themselves over the 10-year period, and we've already seen signs of that. The Congressional Budget Office is starting to revise their numbers upward, so that's all positive signs.
What is it going to be like for you to go from being the majority in the House to the minority in the House as a Republican?
Well, I think one of those things that we want to make sure that we continue with the new 116th session is that we continue to get some things done. I know with the Democrats in the majority and Republicans in the minority, there may be a tendency to do pet projects and some political posturing. But it'd be disappointing if we spent the next year with a bunch of hearings and a bunch of investigations, and we really didn't do anything for the American people over the next 2 years.
I mean, were you saying the same thing, though, about what Republicans did with some of the investigations into Benghazi and other things when they were in control?
Well, I think there's a responsibility that we need as a legislative branch to have that checks and balances on the executive branch. But at the end of the day, the American people look to us to actually get results and get things done. And there's so many areas that we can agree on. I mean, from a standpoint of supporting our veterans, making sure tax cuts get permanent. There's also some looming problems out there. Social Security, we're spending down the money that had been put aside for the baby boomers. If we just follow the same model we did back in the 1980s that extended the life of Social Security then, and we need to come back and do some things like that.
Well, what do you mean? Do you mean raising the age for Social Security or making it so that you can only get it if you are at a certain income level? Or what does that mean?
So part of what was done back in the 1980s was several different changes. One of them was raising the retirement age from 65 to 67.
So what do you think it should be now?
Well, we're looking at, you know, when Social Security was created in 1937, the average life expectancy was 63, and the 65 was set as the retirement age. Now, with our average life expectancy going into the 70s, we need to come back and revisit that just from a – you've got to figure out ways to make the math work. So I don't have a fixed number as a retirement age, but I think that's one of those things we need to look at is just some of those options that were looked at in the 1980s and basically repeat that model.
That is Congressman Ron Estes, a Republican who represents the 4th District in Kansas. Congressman, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy.